Let's do a podcast.
Let's do a podcast.
Let's do a podcast.
You guys. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Monday, June 27th, 2016. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. I'll be there for you. I have small ears, but I can listen. And I have eyes, and I've got my corrective contact lenses. So I just got the eye exam and like maybe a couple months ago. And the optometrist said I was pretty good. And he friended me on Facebook. So, I mean, you know, the eye doctor's not going to friend you on Facebook if he thinks you have shitty eyes. And I got to see pictures of his kid at a hockey game. So that was really sweet. That warmed my heart when I was feeling kind of down. You know, you just kind of scroll through Facebook. You're kind of sad. And you might see a girl that you liked and you can't go out with anymore because she has her own issues. And you like her, but then you have to, like, just... You see her living her best life, and then you get sad after that. But then when you see a picture of, like, one of your friend's babies, it makes you feel good because the baby's, like, I don't know, eating some oatmeal for the first time, and he just doesn't like it or whatever. And he's just, like, playing in the oatmeal. But, like, hey, kid, you should be eating that. Put it in your mouth, not on your dad's face, you know. And that makes you feel good. So, yeah, so I'll take your email. I'll read. Don't be afraid. I mean, I know sometimes it seems like I have all the answers, but I don't. But if you have any questions that you want to ask me, I'll do my damnedest to answer them for you and all that good stuff. So what else can you do with this show? You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lambert. This is episode 173 of the show. I'm sitting here alone in my apartment. I just got back from running errands. I went to Shake Shack and got some burgers, and they were tasty. Expensive, but tasty. So I only do that like a couple times in a month, but now I'm getting back to just not being a fat boy, just going harder at it, and just watching what I eat. I'm sitting in front of two Nature Boxes right now, and this podcast could have been sponsored by Nature Box, but I ended my subscription with Nature Box because it was just coming too much, and you see like the amount that they take out of your account. And, you know, it's just like, oh, I could have had more money if that wasn't. So I can just buy my own healthy snacks. Nature Box is good, though. It's good. This girl that sent me a link to get like a free box or something to sign up, she sent it to me, and I used it, and it's been pretty good. Why? She hasn't texted me back in a long time. I don't know if she liked one of my Instagram posts, but when I texted her just to say what's up, nothing. I don't know. You women are strange, beautiful, delicate, amazing, confusing creatures, and don't change ever. So I'm trying to get back healthy. I bought some fruits at the grocery store today, and I'm gonna get back on the wagon, and it's just too hot to be eating like heavy shit anyway. So I'm trying to cook more at home. I didn't tell you guys last week. Happy belated Father's Day to all the dads. I don't know what the hell was wrong with me last week. I didn't talk about Father's Day. I didn't address the single moms that get angry at black men. I shouldn't. Oh my God, I shouldn't say. Well, look, I hope everybody had a good Father's Day, and just to have another reminder of the, if you don't have a biological dad, I'm sure there's some type of father figure or somebody in your life that you could have called, or you could just to make yourself be more appreciative of that person who's been in your life from day one and that cares about you. Take those times on these manufactured holidays to really show respect to those people, because you probably aren't where you are today if it weren't for those people or that person. And I had a really touching moment with my dad Sunday morning, and it was really sweet, and it was really, really cool. So if you just call your parents or whoever every day and tell them you love them, and just to hear their voice. Sometimes I call my parents every day. I mean, I'm still a man. I'm still tough. I'm still a guy's guy, you know, even if you don't have anything to talk about. All right. I just call them. Say, hey, look, just wanted to hear your voice. All right. Glad you're alive. And I love you, you know. So that's Father's Day out of the way. And yeah, dads just don't get enough credit, you know. Who had the joke? Chris Rock, I think he said something about the dad getting the dad gets the big piece of chicken, or like the Eddie Murphy had the Old Spice thing where you just get your dad a shitty gift and you get him some Old Spice. Yeah, so hopefully everybody had a happy Father's Day. Also, a new thing that I did in the kitchen last week, I made homemade home fries for the first time. Shout out to Chef Buck on YouTube. I was just on one of my YouTube journeys. I think I might have been talking about it last week when I mentioned Matt Barnes' Vice sports story. And I was talking about Carmelo Anthony's Vice web series, but I happened to be looking at it, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna try home fries, you guys. And I did it. They turned out really good. They tasted like the ones that they make in the cafeteria at my day job, and I was and those are really good. So it was cool. I diced up a small potato and put them in little cubes, and I put some peppers, some green and red peppers in them, and seasoned it a little bit with some salt and pepper, and I think some cayenne, and it turned out to be really good. I enjoyed it. I was going to take a picture and put it on Instagram. I didn't post it. I did take a picture for Instagram. I just didn't post it. I don't know why I didn't post it. Maybe I got cold feet or something. Cause you know, if your plate isn't looking right or whatever, you will get clowned, and Twitter will drag you, just like Justin Timberlake got dragged through on the internet late last night. Because I'm old, I went to sleep early. And when I woke up this morning, I saw that Justin Timberlake got dragged on the internet for just giving props to, Jesse Williams's humanitarian BET Awards, humanitarian award recipient speech, his acceptance speech. And he went in. It was a great speech. I think it's on my, it should be on my Twitter timeline. If I'm going to be the woke Negro that I say I am. I don't think I'm woke. I'm just a regular dude. We'll get into that. You know, we'll get into that a little bit. It's on my Twitter timeline, and I put the hashtag black actors that I always do. Sorry about the chair squeaking. I'm in phase one of cleaning shit up in my apartment. I threw a bunch of papers and clutter stuff away in my living room. and I'm getting shit done. So I'm making the effort to improve this podcast by being, what do they say? A cluttered house is a cluttered mind. So getting rid of, trying to get rid of all the clutter. Basically, I'm trying to get my life together. And at the same time, I'll make the podcast better. I want to make myself a little nook of a studio, so I can want to start Skyping people in and getting the tools that I need to do that. So I'm in the process of making that happen. So I could just call somebody, like just say I randomly wanted to talk to Michael Felder about cooking or about college football, I could do that. Or if I wanted to get a comic from the West Coast, or if I wanted to get more guests on the show, I could do that. So that's kind of what the impetus is, if that's the right word. It sounds like it. That's kind of what I'm in the process of doing. So I just want to get my life together, folks. So that's what I'm doing. So Jesse Williams, great speech about just about black people being accepted in society, and how, you know, he basically ended his speech with, just because we're magic doesn't mean that we don't exist. And everybody just got really excited about it and turned up, and the transcript is all over the place on the internet. And talked about cultural appropriation and blah, blah, blah. And then Justin Timberlake tweeted something like, oh, this is, you know, he tweeted something about it. And like just saying that he agreed with Jesse, or he was inspired by Jesse's speech, and Twitter just dragged him. Really, he basically got dragged over Nipplegate, and which is the 2004 Super Bowl when they played Rock Your Body. Is Rock Your Body the name of that song? Don't be so quick to walk away. Yeah, that was the song. They did that during the Super Bowl with him and Janet Jackson. And at the end of the song, he says, gonna have you naked by the end of this song. And he pulled off, he exposed Janet Jackson's titty because he ripped it off. He ripped off a little piece of her garment. And Janet Jackson's career hasn't been the same since then. So for about 12 years or so. And Justin Timberlake has done movies and he's done albums and he's still famous. And, you know, it's one of those hashtag GTBW situations. And a lot of people have never forgiven, and never forgave him for that, because he didn't step up and say, look, you didn't really apologize. Say, look, y'all. You know, sorry, this is my fault. Or I'm taking up for Janet. He just kind of played the background. I'm seeing people say, you know, he cultural appropriation. Although that's nothing new. Remember, over a year ago, I had Fonte, one of the best MCs to ever live. He did my podcast, and we were talking about cultural appropriation, and he said, you know, this is something that's been going on for years, for the longest. And, you know, white people can out-black us. We can't out-white them. And it's not anything new. I'm a fan of Justin Timberlake. I like his music. I'm looking at, I wasn't really a big NSYNC fan. I knew a couple of their songs. And when he went solo, he worked with with the people that I liked. He worked with the Neptunes. He worked with, Timbaland, and Justified. When he put out Justified, I'm not gonna front, I'm a fan. Like, Justified is a dope ass album. He got some good records, Young Senorita, Like I Love You. So all the first shit, Senorita was dope. Ain't nobody loving like I love you. Oh no. It was fine. I like that song. It's a jam. Take It From Here, Cry Me a River. Cry Me a River was good, but that was a smash. But, you know, Rock Your Body, Nothing Else. He has some jams on this. Justified, how many times platinum is this? He has some good jams. He has some good shit. So what was his Justified earned Justin Timberlake, 3 American Music Award nominations, favorite pop rock album. Where is Justin earned nomination album of the year, best pop vocal, while Cry Me a River? Where about the what about the Grammys? Did he even win no Grammy for this? Huh. Okay. I thought that it would have gotten more promotion. Anyway, Justified is a dope-ass album, and it came out, what, 2002? And then Future Sex Love Sounds. Yeah, he has some smash hits on that fucking thing. And looking at the track list, Future Sex Love, Sexy Back, I'll Break His Sexy Back, Sexy Ladies, My Love. JL, the homie JL Covan, had a really good joke on his last album about racism and R&B music, like in pop music, how the white guy would be singing and then the black guy would just do would just be ignorant and on the fuck. Anyway, it's good. Keep My Enemies Closer, JL Covan. Check that shit out. Yeah, he's got, like, I thought Future Sex Love Sounds was a good album, but it wasn't as good as Justified, at least to me. He has some good jams on there. And yeah, so people were really, he got dragged, and then I guess he had to apologize. Then he told somebody, he was like, oh, somebody was like on Twitter, was like, so you're gonna steal this as you culturally appropriated, da 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 da. And Justin Timberlake was like, oh, you don't know, we're all the same. So folks online, Black Twitter, was like, so you just, all lives mattered, that person, we're all the same. And you know, so people went all out, and rightfully so. I mean, sometimes these people can be a little tone deaf, and I get where I'm not gonna cape up for them. I get where they're coming from. So, you know, he has to answer to that if he didn't apologize, if we didn't feel like, if Black Twitter didn't feel like you apologized enough, you didn't apologize enough. And that's how it goes. Anybody can get it. You know, if you don't. Sean Donnelly, friend of the podcast, just wrote a tweet. He said, you can tell how fat you are by how many happy birthday emails you get from barbecue restaurants. Damn, that's fucking hilarious. That's true. But it doesn't have to be barbecue. When I get on my birthday, Hooters will hit me up. Did I even use my Hooters thing? Fuddruckers used to hit me up. They don't hit me up anymore. Really, I can say, you can say how less of a fatty you are, that your life is changing a little bit when you get. I've used most of mine for like discount coupons for stores, like shoes. I use a DSW birthday coupon. I used, and I used one for Destination XL. So I'm, you know, they're clothes and shoes. So I kind of came up on some clothes this past birthday season. That's a funny tweet. Shout out to Sean Donnelly. Manual Labor Face is the name of his album, and My Dumb Friends podcast with Dan St. Germain, and produced by the homie Thomas Attila Lewis. So they get a free shout out from the Mundane Festival. All three of them have been guests on the show, BTW. So they dragged Timberlake, and you know, now people, but then it's funny because, like, he kind of did get the hood pass a little bit, and one of the homies from the Firestarter podcast said something really interesting, because, you know, let's see, about how he kind of had a hood pass, and then people, let's see, hold on, let me see what we got here. I'm trying to scroll through. Okay, somebody says somebody said to them, stealing black culture, not caping for the titty. Niggas had a good 15 years of pent up feelings for JT just waiting. And then Firestarter's Twitter account said, yep, niggas still partied to all them songs and invited him to the Black People show many, many times over the years. And that's true, because like we did like fuck with him. And his music, like I'm not going to front and act like I ain't never listened to that man's music, because I bought three of the albums. I bought the Justified. I bought Future Sex, Love Sounds, and the first 2020 joint. And he makes good music. He makes solid music because he works with the people that I enjoy, like especially Pharrell, especially NERD, and also Timbaland. So he makes good music. It's definitely a formula. I saw him live, but let's say this. Now, having said that, he ain't better than Usher. He ain't better than Usher. Ain't no way that he's not a better singer, not a better dancer, not a better performer. That's my taste. While I like them both, he's not Usher. And somebody said that, you know, he stole Usher's swag in 2001. And I don't know, but a lot of those songs, I mean, Usher probably could have did them joints. Usher, but did he really need them? No, he didn't. Because when, shit, the first Usher joint, the 1994, it was good, but I think that was a time, if you watch one of those, what is it, Driven? That used to come on like VH1. It was like Driven or one of those behind the music joints. Usher was singing above his life experience for some of these joints, but he had fucking, you know, he had Think of You, Can You Get With It? The Many Ways. He has some joints on here. Those are three out of the 14. The Very Many Ways to Say I Love You. Yeah, that was a good jam. Faith wrote Think of You. Donnell Jones wrote that shit. Faith Evans and Donnell Jones wrote Think of You. Usher wrote it, then a guy named Chucky Thompson. Now that was a jam. That was my karaoke joint. Think of You was the jam. You Remind Me, but that was 8701. What I used to do, you guys, we used to go to karaoke when I was in grad school, and we would go, it was like on Clark, I was in Chicago, we go to this spot called Goose Island, and we go do karaoke, and it was all theater nerds. And so we all do karaoke. And what I used to do was I used to sing You Remind Me. And then because I couldn't hit all the crazy notes that Usher would hit at the end of the second verse, I would rap Mos Def's feature verse from Bilal's album, from Bilal's song Reminisce. And I would fit that in and just rock the shit. And they would be like, oh, shit. So that would be one of my joints that I would do. Just peeling back the onion, the life experience, I don't know, just telling you a little story about that. But Usher, man, Usher, I've never seen a guy, just as far as like my generation, I would say, that could sing and dance at the same time. Do you know like how fit you had to be to do that shit? Like I saw him in 2002. He headlined a show at the, oh God, I don't, it used to be the, I think it used to be the Nissan Pavilion at Stone Ridge or something like that. But it was down in Virginia, and it was like at like an amphitheater type thing. And it was Usher, Nas, and Faith. And Usher headlined, and he killed. This is 8701. And if you've listened to this show long enough, you know that I'm one of those like guys that like wanted to be an R&B singer. Like that's like the fantasy for me, like when I was a lot younger, and I still hold a lot of that inside me. But it's like he was the guy, and there's nobody in this generation that could sing and dance like he could. I saw Justin Timberlake. I saw him in '03. Man, I want to say I saw him in 03, whatever the stripped Justified tour was with Christina Aguilera. And like they had to do a double bill. Usher did it by himself. I mean, Usher toured like with 8701. I mean, he toured pretty much. I'm sure he had probably had an opener, but around that time, you know, that double bill, Christina Aguilera and Timberlake, it was a good show. But Justin Timberlake was not on Usher's level, and I don't think I think that kind of gets lost. Maybe I'm sure it's a race thing, but don't get it twisted. Like Usher's the guy, and I know like now it's easy to forget shit like that. I mean, but I'm 36, and I remember when this guy was hot, and then he was you couldn't stop him. Bobby Brown was jealous of Usher when Usher was coming out. I mean, Usher I think Usher is a little, he's not unsung, but I mean, damn it. Like, I don't think he gets enough credit for what. So he had 7 albums over the course of. So what is that? I'm not good at math. Let's see. If I can get my calculator out, let's go to the calculator. Let's go to the calculator. Let's go to the calculator and distinguish some years to make a point or try to. So 2012, his last album came out. And so in 18 years, he's had 7 albums. And I think he's working on something new, but I think he's just got a, I think he was trying too hard with some of the, he was trying to do like some stadium music, but I guess he has to evolve. I don't know, but somebody either MTV or BET, somebody gave Usher someone gave Usher a lot, like an achievement award type thing. And I'm always going to have a place in my heart for Usher. I think he's great. And there was one song, I want to say Here I Stand, Yeah. Was Yeah on that? Yeah. Set list. Oh, that's the, where's the track list? That'd be too Confessions. Yeah, it wasn't on Confessions. Now, Confessions was what put Usher out, like on, like that's what solidified him into being like the fucking man. And I want to see what at the 47th Grammy Award, he was nominated for 8 categories. He won 3 of them: Best Contemporary R&B Album, Best R&B Performance by a Duo or Group or with Vocal for My Boo, Best Rap. So yeah, it was 2004. Okay, yeah, all right. Usher won awards for the 2005. With sales of more than 8 million in 2004, Confessions was the most shipped album of the year in the U.S., along with the success of the American singer Norah Jones. Second album, Feels Like Home, Breakthroughs, da-da-da-da-da-da. Where's the... Yeah was not... Damn. I didn't realize Yeah was on Confessions. I don't know, maybe... Yeah, I guess it was. That was the same year that Fly or Die from NERD came. All right. Not that that has any correlation, but I remember. You know what I remember about that? It was I was working at Best Buy, and I got both of those albums. Those were the 2 albums, CDs, that I was excited about, and I listened to those shits all the time. Yeah, Usher had, fuck, he had, yeah. Throwback was good, just wasn't a, I don't think that was a radio song. It wasn't. So Confessions, Burn. when a feeling ain't the same in your mind. No, gotta let it go. The body ain't jumping like it used to. That's why I'm not an R&B singer. That's why I'm a comedian slash actor. Yeah, man, he has some jams on here. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know he worked with Andre Harris and Vidal Davis, the same people behind Glenn Lewis, one of my favorites. Yeah, man, Usher is he's a beast. He was like in his prime, like he was killing it, and there was no way that he was better than Usher. There was a song called Sweet Lies that Usher did, and I think it was on like the CD single. It was on the single of Yeah, Sweet Lies, I think it was called. I don't want to go on wondering why. Yeah, it was on the UK. This song was on the UK release of Usher's single Yeah. And it was produced by the Neptunes, I believe. And I think it was. And I think that Justin Timberlake and Usher were supposed to sing it together. And I don't know if that was like a... I think that was supposed to be on a soundtrack from what I can remember. Red Light was a song on there too.
It was supposed to be just a one night.
See, I remember this shit, man. You guys remember Alfonso Hunter? God, I went on a YouTube journey listening to him. I'm working on a bit about R&B music that I'm not revealing, but it's been going around in my brain that I'm gonna talk about. Yeah, Confessions was the shit, and Usher's the man. There's no way that Timberlake's better. I'm sorry, you guys. I enjoy both of their music, but there's no way. It's just, you know how I know Usher was great? I think I have two of his concert DVDs, but I think there's one called like Evolution. There's one. Hold on a second, you guys. Okay, I found them. So there was one. It was just called Usher Live Evolution 8701. And I think this is it. And it's so he did like a 90-minute show. And then there's one, the Truth Tour. When did this come out? This is like a big ass box. I think this is when I worked at Best Buy and I used to get the hookups. They don't make shit like this anymore, like concert DVDs. It's like 2005. Yeah, well, for some reason I thought Yeah was a older, came after, but it didn't. So anyway, so on this Usher DVD, it was he was rehearsing. The bonus feature on this thing was like he did a rehearsal of You Don't Have to Call, and it's just him in a fucking arena by himself, just sound checking or just rehearsing by himself, murdering it, fucking just killing it. And I'll never forget that shit. Like he was being a showman. He's the shit. And he's just like, I think he's gotta be, even though he's super famous, he's gotta be one of the most underrated musical acts of his generation, like one of them. I'll get into Bilal a little bit later, but like I think he's just really underappreciated, because I think he came right before he peaked, like right before Twitter came out. I think, I don't know what it is, but like social media makes some of these artists bigger than they are, like in their talent. Like you don't have to have as much talent as some of these people do, like used to have. And just the joy and the passion, the showmanship, the skill, all of this guy, like he was a fucking athlete. Usher's a fucking athlete. And I don't know, man. He doesn't get enough credit. But I always remember that, like, just performance wise, like, to sing at a high level like that, and then also be dancing. It really doesn't. I mean, that's James Brown. That's Jackie Wilson. That's you could throw Bobby Brown in there. That's Michael Jackson. That's who Usher, he came from that tree. Like, if you talk about, like, football coaches, like that, like Parcells, like the, you know, like the coaching tree and all that shit. Like, he's got to be like, Usher's got to be like a Bill Belichick, you know? I don't know. That's not really a flimsy comparison, but I think it works. But he's definitely from that ilk. And yeah, man, like, I just think that, like, the whole Timberlake thing made me think of, like, how great Usher was. You know, I don't think he's like a has been, but I just think, like, he doesn't get enough credit as somebody who, like, really enjoys the genre, the R&B genre, what it used to be. Because I can't understand some of these kids now. Was that kid Designer? Like, he did a freestyle and people were like, is this good? If you have to ask, then maybe it's not. I don't know. I haven't listened to the guy's album. I don't know. But I know some people were posting his XXL freshman freestyle, and I was just like, okay. Maybe I'm going to be one of those out of touch guys, like the message board said, but hey, I like what I like. I like what I like. I'm going to watch these. I haven't looked at these in a long time. Usher Live. So I didn't really catch all of the BET Awards. I recorded it. I watched the Jesse Williams speech. So he made this great speech, and now people are kind of shitting on him because he's light-skinned. Like, that meant anything. So, I mean, you know, we can't win if you're shitting on the guy talking about this activism and you're like, well, that nigga light-skinned. So somebody's always got something to say. But then some folks on Twitter were talking about how behind the scenes, how he helped them with their organizations, with them mobilizing different groups and using his star power, his privilege, and his fame to get things done, to actually help people. So I thought that was really cool that his speech brought that out and caused people to tweet about it. And he shouted out black women, which is a good thing. So good on him. You know, that's what's up, young. And what I saw the Erykah Badu and Bilal Prince tribute. I thought Bilal killed that shit. And I thought that Bilal, I've thought this for years, that Bilal is a generational great. He's not getting the love. I'm glad he had that stage to do what he does, because I think he's one of the only people, one of the only artists that's really in that vein. If anybody was, he's one of those dudes that is from that ilk, the same tree that Prince is from, you know? I would say he's not on... See, I don't... Shit. How can I say it? He would be one of the few soul artists that I am aware of that exudes that type of vocal skill, that musicianship. I would just say, like, that he evokes exudes sex in his music, and he's one of those dudes, man. And I think Bilal, and just on his own, he's got a body of work that's pretty terrific. And he's just, if you just off of pure skill, pure vocal talent, I don't think there's anybody in the industry like Bilal. So I'm happy that he got some love and got some exposure. That's well deserved for him. So I saw that. I did not see Usher's performance on the BET Awards. I know he had a Don't Trump America jacket on. I didn't see his. I DVR'd it, so I'll try to skim through and check that out. But I think the biggest thing from those BET Awards was that Jesse Williams speech and Justin Timberlake getting dragged trying to All Lives Matter, that speech. And then when you do say stuff like that, like we're all the same, you negate the differences and you negate the pain that so many minorities, so many black people have been through just because of the color of their skin. So you just have to be, you do have to be, I hate to say, hashtag woke. You do have to be woke and understand and just let some people have their moment and be quiet. So I've been rambling for a good 41 minutes. This might be a longer episode. I think I gave you 45 last week. So we talked about the BET Awards a little bit. We talked about me making home fries. We talked about Father's Day. Let's talk about comedy. Comedy was really dope this week. I had just had two shows. I worked with my good friend, J.L. Covan. He recorded his new album. I believe it's his fifth album. And it was fucking great. I had a good time. Got off work and I went down to Long Island City. Long Island City has become, and I think I've said this on the show before, it's become even more popular within the last 7 years that I've been around and just around the area. And it's just, I had to pay for parking. Granted, it was only $9, but still, that was just like, damn, I got to pay for parking now. And there's a lot of restaurants and there's bars, there's new, like, I think there's a brewery. I can't say, I'm bad at saying brewery, bad at saying that word. And so it's a lot of more shit to do. So it's more crowded. And it's more infested with people. Although I did take what was the road that I drove down? I think I drove down Vernon to get to the standing room before I had to park. And it's a lot of stuff that's building up, a lot of new places that are businesses that are coming in. So I don't think I'd ever been down that area or noticed all the new places that are coming up. Anyway, so the recordings were so dope, and it was there were people there that listened to the Black Guy Who Tips, JL's Black Guy Who Tips with Ron and Karen, Righteous Prick listeners, and my podcast, this show, Mundane Festival. And it was really neat to see people that listen to us on the podcast and come out to support the show. So it was really fucking dope. Sterling, shout out to Sterling and Keita from the Gaming and Then Some podcast. Shout out to Brian. Shout out to Mark. Thank you so much for coming. Shout out to Tanya. And shout out to my homies shout out to Todd and Alicia for coming out. They were really sweet. They just got engaged. So shout out to them. I think Todd was the first person, one of the first people to see me do stand up. Sorry about that first time, Todd. I'm really sorry about that. So they came out and supported. I hosted, and JL did his thing, man. So the album's going to be dope whenever he puts it out. He'll probably put it out maybe late summer, early fall. I don't know. But when he does it, I will let you know. We'll have him back on. We'll have him on the show again to promote and just kind of shoot the shit. So it was just a really fun night. It's just one of those nights. And now, you know, like, especially people that like listen to the show and actually like the 7 or 8 people that actually like this show and what I do, what JL does. And it was nice. So really one of those nights where you're like, damn, I fucking love doing comedy makes you feel good about a lot of the choices that you make to get to the point where I am now as an unknown but talented young comedian. So that was really cool. So that was a great night of comedy. What else, you guys? I played the I downloaded the Lego Star Wars demo. I found out that was out, so I downloaded it. It's fun. You're Finn, Rey, and BB-8, and they take you up to the point where Finn and Rey meet for the first time, and it leads you up to the point where you're battling people like stormtroopers and shit, and then you fly the Millennium Falcon. However you nerds like to pronounce it. I gave you both. So you're flying that ship and you got to shoot down some TIE fighters, and that's pretty fun. I don't think that's a game that it's just too many. It's way too many puzzles involved in that game where it's just like, I'm not a big puzzle guy. I'm not that smart. But it was fun. It's a fun game. I don't think I really care for the Lego Avengers either. It would be cool if they just made like a regular, ass Star Wars game with those characters. I don't know. What do I know? I'm just a guy. What else? Ooh, let's do some movies. Oh, was I going to talk about something else? I talked about Bilal. I said that. And I would say another Prince-inspired artist, at least on his second album, and I may have mentioned this before, but Van Hunt, he had an album came out in 2006 called On the Jungle Floor, which is probably one of my favorite albums of like the last 10 years. It's one of the, I can still listen to it. It still sounds fresh, had a lot of gems on it. He's got this really good song, really just kind of hits the nail on the head with a lot of like women, like just dating women, called the song called Being a Girl. And it just says like, she just can't help being a girl. Just can't help being a girl. Like, it's just a good song. It's got, and I actually met Van Hunt, in 2007, I met him in Chicago, and I just dapped him up. I said, "Oh man, I love your music. You do it for the sensitive dudes," or something I was saying. And he was like, "Oh yeah, brother." And that was it. But cool dude. And I had the chance, like, he was in my back, fucking literally my backyard, like minutes away. And I just didn't make it to see him. I think I was doing a play or something. And he playing at this restaurant bar. That was really nice, and I just didn't make it out to see him. That was like a long ass time ago, but Van Hunt, also a dope artist. I have to reintroduce myself to his music again. I'm trying to think if there's anything new that I'm listening to. I think it's just Esperanza Spalding. I got that a couple weeks, like maybe a month or so ago, whenever it came out. I think I don't know. I'll have to get back to you guys on that. Movies. Okay, so Friday, I went to go see this movie called The Shallows with Blake Lively, and I will read you a blurb from that. Okay, here we go. Still reeling from the loss of her mother, medical student Nancy Adams, Blake Lively, travels to a secluded beach for some much-needed solace. Despite the danger of surfing alone, Nancy decides to soak up the sun and hit the waves. Suddenly, a great white shark attacks. A great white shark attacks, forcing her to swim to a giant rock for safety. Left injured and stranded 200 yards from the shore, the frightened young woman must fight for her life as the deadly predator circles her in its feeding ground. So this movie just came out, and I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was entertaining. It's only like an hour and 27 minutes long, And if you're a fan of looking at Blake Lively, who's very striking, very attractive, even though, you know, reports state that she was married on a slave plantation, I like this movie. And she came under controversy recently about, like, saying a Sir Mix-a-Lot line from Baby Got Back or something, and people got mad, your ass, and blah, blah. She's hot. And I tapped out of Gossip Girl when it got a little too crazy. Maybe after the third season, I don't even know, but I kind of tapped out. Once the characters start hooking up with each other, once they've hooked up with each other so much and not any outside people, it just gets to the point where, okay, all right. Because Dawson's Creek did that. Dawson's Creek lost its steam after the second season, but I just still kept with it because I loved Katie Holmes. But anyway, and quiet as it's kept, or I might have tweeted this before, but I liked her in Age of Adeline. I was impressed. I liked her. I like her as an actress. She's not just a pretty face, you guys. It was Age of Adeline surprised me. And I was talking to the homie Andrew Short. We were texting, and we were talking about movies. I was like, "Yeah, this weekend I'm probably just gonna see The Shallows." And he's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I heard good things." And I was surprised. Like, it's 73% on Rotten Tomatoes, 58% Metacritic, 7.4 out of 10 on IMDb. And I was just like, I was gonna see this regardless of what the critics said. But it was interesting to me that it got such high reviews from Rotten Tomatoes, and I was like, you know, I'm gonna go see this, and it did interest me. When I did JL's movie podcast, when we did our summer preview, I think I may have mentioned that this was one on my list, or I remember it being on my list, saying that, okay, this looks interesting, you know, kind of like that, Open Water or Deep Blue Sea type thing, but more Open Water than anything. And obviously there's a Jaws comparisons. I think that this movie could also be a meditation on gentrification, because she was this white girl from Texas that went down to Mexico, and she was the only white girl there, and she tried to take over. She wasn't taking over the ocean, but she was out there. And there were Mexican people there, and I don't want to give anything away, but let's just say the character with the lightest skin was the only one that made it out alive. But there was an interesting sequence where, like, the climactic moment of the film was pretty dope, and it's good for, I think this is good. I, for some reason, am drawn to some of these stories with female heroines. And I know I talked about this maybe a year or two ago when I was talking about female video game characters, female leads in video games. And I just think, like, you know, I'm not trying to, I don't know what the demographic is that listened to this podcast, but I would say it's good to have a female heroine in a movie like that. And it's something like this is good for young girls to see. One thing, this movie passes the Bechdel test. Huh, how about that, feminists? She was not talking about a man. She didn't talk about having a boyfriend or anything like that. I mean, she called her dad. I mean, but, you know, and it was really about her mom. She really took the trip for her mom and to remember her mom. Anyway, solid movie, entertaining. It's probably, I would say, one of the best mainstream movies that you could see right now. It's entertaining. You know, I had a good time. The only thing, I was sitting, these girls came in right after the movie started. These, like, preteen or teenage girls sat near me I like to sit in the back row, and these girls were, like, sitting in the same row as me, and they were, like, whispering the whole fucking time. And if I would have said something, I probably would have been the asshole. So I was just in between a rock and some annoying little girls. It's just like, watch the fucking movie. You can talk to each other after. Just watch the movie and eat your snacks. But I didn't say anything. But I would recommend this. I'd recommend The Shallows. I thought that it was entertaining, and it did its job. How about that? So Saturday morning, I went to go see The Neon Demon, and I was pretty excited to see this because this is a movie starring Elle Fanning, who's one of those young actresses that you see when they're a kid and they start to grow up. You like to see the progression and whatnot. And then I found out it was directed by Nicholas Winding Refn, the same guy who did Drive and Only God Forgives. And I think he did a few others too. I'm sure he did. But mainly Drive is what he's known for. And I'll read you the blurb about this. Jessie, Elle Fanning, moves to Los Angeles just after her 16th birthday to launch a career as a model. The head of her agency tells the innocent teen that she has the qualities to become a top star. Jessie soon faces the wrath of ruthless vixens who despise her fresh-faced beauty. On top of that, she must contend with a seedy motel manager and a creepy photographer. As Jessie starts to take the fashion world by storm, her personality changes in ways that could help her against her cutthroat rivals. I almost don't want to say much more than that. So the critics are kind of these. This movie got mixed reviews. 47% on Rotten Tomatoes, 51% on Metacritic, 7 out of 10 on IMDb. And what shocked me about this was the fact that it was playing at an AMC, like right near me, at the movie theater near my place. And I was like, oh, shit. All right. I'm going to go see this tomorrow. Like when I found that out, I was like, oh, I'm going to see it this weekend. It's not something I'm going to have to wait for a long time to see. I'll get to see it. I like Drive. I'm a fan of Elle Fanning. One of the first, I was like, damn, she's really good. Obviously, her sister is Dakota Fanning. She might be better than her sister, Young. I don't know. She might be. Because I saw her in this movie called Phoebe in Wonderland. And she played a little kid that had Tourette's. And I thought that performance was good. She was good in this movie called Somewhere, a Sofia Coppola movie. She's done, I think she was in Trumbo. I haven't seen that. And she's just like a good, solid, up-and-coming white starlet, I would say. And so she's doing her thing. So I was like, The Neon Demon, and like all the nerd blogs and the nerd indie websites that I read were talking about this movie. So I was like, oh, shit. And I watched the trailer. I'm like, all right. And this is one of the most beautiful looking films that I've seen this year. The DP is Natasha Breyer, who I think is she from Spain? She's from Argentina. And she's done some movies that I've never heard of. XXY, I've heard of and never seen it. The Rover, The Milk of Sorrow, In the City of Sylvia. Anyway, she's really terrific. And this is visually stunning. The way one of the first shots of the film, I really don't want to give much away about it, but the first shot of the film is just like, it looks like a fucking painting. But it's not. It's real people in it. It's just visually amazing. And the only person that would probably appreciate this is Michael Felder. I don't really want to spoil this one. I just want to say that this movie isn't for everybody. Some people will see this and say, what the fuck is this? But I would say that I was talking to another comic, Kasim Bentley. We were messaging on Facebook, and he had actually seen it like maybe Thursday or Friday. And I had hit him up, messaged him. I was like, how was it? And then he just got back to me today. And we were talking about it. And he was just saying kind of some of the same things, how It looks really good. It's visually amazing. And he said something along the lines, what did he say? He said it was kind of like a belly for artsy hipsters or something. What did he say? Shit. I'm trying to find it. He wouldn't mind me saying it, but it was funny. Let's see. Shit. I hate when that's so much dead air. He says belly for young artsy white people. But since he brought that up, you know, belly is just visually stunning too. Obviously looks like a fucking music video. It reminded me a lot of Sofia Coppola's really good at framing stuff, or like her shot compositions. I don't know if she is her own DP. Is she her own DP? For a movie like Marie Antoinette is one of the movies they remember. I don't really remember much about Marie Antoinette. I remember it was kind of long. I don't remember liking it as much as I liked her. As much as I liked her other joints. Did she shoot it? No, Lance Accord shot it. But I'm sure she has her say in how she wants shit to look like. But Lance Accord was a DP for this, for Marie Antoinette. I remember that motherfucker looking beautiful. And I remember, like, I'm trying to think what else. She's also somebody else that makes really good, because she was a photographer, so she sets up good shots. But it did remind me of Marie Antoinette, which is something I think I should probably go back and look at again. Maybe give it another shot. I really liked, I like The Virgin Suicides. To me, I think The Virgin Suicides is her best film. Lost in Translation gets most of the love. So I would put, just as far as her films are concerned, I would say Virgin Suicides 1, Lost in Translation 2, Somewhere 3, Bling Ring 4, and Marie Antoinette 5. I didn't like it as much. But Nicholas Winding Refn, let me go back to him. I want to see. It would be nice if I would go back. I want to see what else he did. Nicholas Winding Refn. He's probably done some joints that I never. Bronson. He wrote that. Only God Forgives. Pusher. Only God. Yeah, Drive. Valhalla Rising. There's a bunch of these I haven't seen. But anyway, I thought it was good. It just, and then you know a movie is striking a chord with people when folks get upset. Like, people were mad. They were saying, oh, it's against women. Because it's basically a it's really like a story that takes place within the fashion industry, but it could also be Hollywood or just about show business, how beauty is currency, and it gets younger and younger. So it's like this girl's 16 years old and she's left home to become a model, and the stuff that she goes through, she's really going into the belly of the beast, or demon, if you will. What? But there was some cool interviews and stuff on YouTube with the director, and he was, you know, basically talking about what he was going for and the aesthetic that he was into, and making a lot of statements on what a lot of people deem to be important. And you could definitely see the arc that the Jesse character had, and then the people around her, like everybody wanted something from this girl. It's a really interesting movie. I would give it. Damn. I think I would buy this movie when it comes out. It's a weird ass fucking movie, but it's one that I think I would have to have in my collection. It would be like, I would say A-, B-plus level. Because I just don't want people to have these expectations. What I will say, all right, this is what I'll say, and I think this isn't giving anything away. It's a horror movie set against the backdrop of the modeling industry. That's all I'll say. And it's kind of funny, too, because there's some moments that I was in the theater and I was laughing at the way some of these things were going down. There were some moments where I was like, oh shit. There was some that was like some sexy moments, a couple of them, and I was like, oh shit. And it was like, you know, I would just say there's a Jenna Malone scene that you should there's two Jenna Malone scenes that you could watch out for. And yeah, it's not, I think for critics, it's not the easiest thing to digest. And I think that's the director's point. Just an interesting ass movie, I would say. Really, I really enjoyed it. I think that's all I want to say about that. Yeah, I recommend it. Fuck it. Go see The Neon Demon. And if you go see it, I'm not going to give you your money back if you don't like it. But I would say if you see it, let me know what you think about it. Let me know how you feel. And then maybe we can have a dialogue about it. Tweet at me or something if you think, you know, if the spirit moves you. All right. So what else? Oh, I went to see a Broadway play, you guys. I went to go see The Humans at the Helen Hayes Theater. I saw it last Tuesday, almost a week ago, and it was fucking great. So I'll read you the little synopsis here. The Humans is a play written by Stephen Karam. I don't know, K-A-R-A-M. The play opened on Broadway in 2016 after an engagement off-Broadway. The Humans was a finalist for the 2016 Pulitzer Prize for Drama and won the 2016 Tony Award for Best Play. And also, two of the actors won Tonys. I want to get that right, get this right. Where are the... So it won a Tony for Best Play, Best Featured Actor in a Play for Reed Birney, Best Featured Actress in a Play, Jade Houdyshell, Best Scenic Design in a Play, in which scenery was really good. Stage design was great. David Zinn. And so, yeah. So it was really good. Let me just try to find like the little... It'd be nice to have a synopsis, folks. Come on, Wikipedia. But I don't want to get... It's about a family at Thanksgiving. Okay, it's about a family coming together, the Blake family coming together at one of the kids has a rundown apartment in Chinatown in Manhattan, and a lot of family shit happens. That's basically the gist of the whole play. It's 95 minutes long, so there was no intermission, and it was really good. It was engaging. It was, you know, six people on stage pretty much the whole time. And it definitely resonated with me because it was like, and it's a white family. And I think that's what makes, like, family is so universal that it definitely relates. And that's another reason why I always, you know, tweet about black actors. That's why I always talk about it, because the more... How do you say it? And I feel like I've said it before, and I feel like somebody else has said it. The more personal you make things, the more that you the personal is universal. So I think what this writer did, he was actually on Marin's WTF podcast a few weeks ago, and he was talking about the play. And, you know, one of the questions was, well, one of the things he talked about, what character are you? Some people always ask him, what character is he? And he's a little bit of all of them. And I think, you know, I thought that was something that you kind of hear authors talk about that sometimes, but it's not just one particular person that this author is speaking through. He's speaking through a multitude of them. He's speaking through all of them. And it was really good. And I say, you know, a play is good when you have a theater full of white people laughing like they're at Def Comedy Jam or responding like they're on Def Comedy Jam and like they're at a black show. The crowd was they were turned up. I don't know. Is that what the kids say? Now I'm hearing people, we want to retire the word lit now. So I don't know what the new term is, but the crowd was really excited. They were really excited about the play, and they had a good time. And it was just like some real shit that was going on in this play. And there were a couple of moments that hit me. I was like, fuck, had that conversation with my parents. Definitely had that conversation. Going through some of that shit. So it's stuff in there for everybody. And it's probably the best thing you can see on Broadway that's not The Humans. And I would say, that's not Hamilton. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not Hamilton. I was talking about that on stage on Friday. And I'm sure Hamilton's great, but this was... this is just a good play. I'm usually predisposed to liking or enjoying like family dramas, like kitchen sink dramas, with just stuff that's going on like in the moment, in the past. You know, ain't nobody singing and dancing and skitting and singing and all that shit. It's just a good ass play. So I highly recommend it. If you can get good tickets, what I do, one of my coworkers told me about the hookup. If you go to playbill.com and you go to discounts and you get your tickets via the discounts from Playbill, and you have like a better chance of getting like cheaper tickets. That works for some plays, not something huge like Hamilton, where, you know, you have to go through a lottery and all that shit. I mean, you know, it is, you don't have to do all that. But if you go to Playbill and go under like discounts, and you can find, like, I went with a friend, and she and I were in the mezzanine, and I was thinking like, oh shit, is this going to be whack? 'Cause we're like away from stage, but it was actually really good. You could see everything. I had a really good time. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I tweeted about it, like how much I enjoyed the show. And one of the producers like retweeted it, and two of the actors like said thanks or whatever. So that was pretty neat. It was fucking great. So I would highly recommend it if you're into seeing theater. If you're into seeing some theater, go see it. Don't take my word for it. Brie Larson saw it and she tweeted about it, and she's an Oscar winner. She liked it. one of my delicate white angels. Ooh, yeah. So I didn't know I was going to do that. So vocally, I don't know if I was on point with that. So look, you guys, that, let's see, let me make sure I talked about everything that I wanted to talk about. We talked about the movies. We talked about some Broadway. We talked about the BET Awards. We talked about Justin Timberlake, and we talked about Usher, and I think that's good enough for an action-packed podcast. So that's the end of the show for this week. This has been episode 173, and I will talk to you next time. Thanks for listening, everybody. Time.